Chapter 22. "What the hell's going on here?" shouts the middle-aged, no-nonsense female train conductor after she stepped into the business-class section to take tickets and noticed the unusual movement from some of the passengers. "Stop bouncing," she yells to Poppy, flipping back her crochet braid attached to her own freshly relaxed hair. "We are exercising in places allowed by the law," Poppy counters back, unafraid of small-time bureaucrats. "You," she hollers to Campolina. "You handicapped or something?"
"I am a shaker, ma'am," she answers back, ignoring the woman's rudeness.
"Well, stop it," snaps back Ilsa, the she-wolf of the Northeast Corridor. "What the hell's that thing?" she continues grousing after getting a load of surprise being shoved into a bag by Adora.
"She's a rare breed of dog," answers Adora haughtily, quivering as hard as she can to give herself courage, "and she's got shaker syndrome. It's a disease that confused pets get from being trapped in the body of another species."
"Amtrak does not allow diseased animals on board, ma'am," the Amtrak enforcer answers without an ounce of sympathy before turning to Billy, who was just finishing up the alphabet. "Hey, you, Mr. Zorro, stop that shit," she orders like a crass copy editor. Billy ignores her and relaxes from the Z he just owned, and morphs into a small letter A for asshole, hoping she can read his next level of lowercase alphabetic sign language. But she's spiritually illiterate, just as he expected. "You two, sit down," she orders when she sees more passenger movement. "Bouncing is freedom," bellows Lipa defiantly on the way down for a cannonball landing. "Blasting off is beautiful," shouts Volta on the way up, not even sticking out her only arm for balance. "Stop that," shrieks the ticket taker to springboard Sam and double back Barbara, who sing back "Oh, de la hee hee," sampling a verse of Gene Autry's The Yodeling Cowboy while shaking sideways in self-choreographed impudence. "Hey, Buster, no pocket pool," the conductor suddenly calls out to the voyeuristic watch queen reverend, who may be pleasuring himself through his pants without the slightest concern for her authority. "Well, how about the male-to-male fellatio going on right now inside the bathroom?" he answers, not one bit repentant. "I'm trying to read," adds the persnickety matron in exasperation, looking up from a trashy Princess Grace of Monaco biography. "But no, I have to lose my place because of the unnatural sounds of homosexual suction. In business class yet." The conductor's eyes light up in fury, and she turns toward the restroom door. "Al," she bellows, "is that you?" Al wipes his mouth with a scratchy paper towel as Richard shrinks back inside Daryl's fly. Al and Daryl are now face-to-face in panicked embarrassment, yet connected by sexual intimacy. No matter what just happened, Daryl doesn't feel like explaining his or Richard's complicated backstory to any close-minded railroad employee. Suddenly, the bathroom door flies open, and there she is, the outraged conductor. She has used her emergency key to get in, and Daryl can tell this is personal. "I told you, Al," she scolds in a fury, "no blowjobs on duty. Suck all the cock you want at home in New London, but not here, not on Amtrak's time." "But Edwina, I did all my work," he pleads, as Daryl, red in the face, retucks his shirt and Richard hides in fear. "Trash emptied, tickets checked, paperwork filled out," he further argues, but she's not hearing any of it. "No siree," Edwina snaps. "No more wannabe Acela fellas for you, Mr. Mighty Mouth. You were on penis probation, which is now revoked. Get off, and I mean at the next stop, not in your pants." "Oh, you freaks," she announces, turning to the other passengers and pulling rank. "Next stop, Providence, Rhode Island. End of the line."